You'll note our subject on the calendar there. We call it the number one church. Perhaps it would be better stated, the number one and the church. The number one and the church. In the seventh chapter of the book of Acts, Stephen was talking to the representatives of the 12 tribes of Israel. You know, on the day of Pentecost, we're told in Acts 2:14 that Peter stood up with the 11. Wouldn't it be strange today if we would have 12 preachers standing up here to preach? We have some people with a slogan, "Back to Pentecost." They say that was the church of purity and power. But if you go to a Pentecostal church, you will not find 12 men standing up. In about 50% of the churches, you'll find one woman. But 12 men were standing up. And we read in Acts 1:14 and 15, in the upper room there were 120 disciples. 120, that's 10 times 12. Over in the book of Revelation, we read of 144,000. No Gentiles. Jehovah's Witnesses claim that they're the 144,000 and the Seventh-day Adventists, but there weren't any Gentiles at all. They're all Israelites. Where you have 12, or the multiple of 12, it represents the 12 sons of Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. You remember that Judas betrayed the Lord. And when he died, that left 11 apostles. And when the Lord gave the Great Commission, according to the last chapter of Mark and Matthew, there were only 11 apostles. But that was not enough to begin on the day of Pentecost. So they selected a man by the name of Matthias to take the place of Judas. So 12 men stood up on the day of Pentecost. Peter was their spokesman, and he said, "Let all the house of Israel know assuredly that this same Jesus whom ye crucified, God hath made both Lord and Christ." Now all the house of Israel meant 12 tribes. There are some Gentiles today that try to steal some things or appropriate that which James wrote. They get into trouble. When you open the book of James and it says to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, you know, there wasn't a Gentile among the 12 tribes. So when James wrote to the 12 tribes, he was not writing to Gentiles. He was writing to the 12 tribes. Now, when God divided the 12 tribes into camps way back in the book of Exodus and the other books there, he had a church. And in the seventh chapter of the book of Acts, when Stephen referred to that church, he called it the church in the wilderness. Well, I want to tell you, beloved, it's altogether a different application. But if there was ever a church in the wilderness, it's the churches in 1955. I went down on South Dearborn not long ago, and I counted 36 different churches there, all with new and fancy names. Well, they have a right to do that if the others are going to do it. There are 240 recognized, organized sectarian churches. Well, why shouldn't they add about 30 or 40 more? You ever go down from the 30th block south on down to 60, read the names of those different church organizations there. If it wasn't a tragedy, it would be a real comedy. Think of the utter confusion in the world today when we're trying to give a testimony to the world, and the church is divided into over 270 different sectarian religious organizations. God is not the author of confusion. Satan is responsible for all sectarianism. Anybody ought to know who studies the Bible, rational, intelligent, common sense, they ought to know that there is only one church in this age in which we live, and there's only one way to get into that church. We had quite a time here. We had a committee here for 14 months. When we left the congregational denomination, because they had turned 65% of them to Unitarianism, we didn't want to be identified with them. We had quite a time trying to get a name for this organization. The only name you have in the Bible is a name that indicates the location. There's nothing in the Bible about a congregational church, an Episcopal church, a Presbyterian church, a Catholic church, a Baptist church, or a Lutheran church. None of those names. People have buried, like the ostrich, they've buried their heads in the sands of tradition, and they've come up with some kind of an organization, and we have today such utter confusion that the poor sinner doesn't know which way to turn. Now, we ought to know that we're not that church in the wilderness. They were worshiping God in a portable tabernacle. They had moved through the wilderness, they'd put up that tabernacle. They had a priest. They had a high priest. They had a holy place. They had a most holy place. They had a brazen altar. They had the golden candlesticks or lampstands. They had the showbread table. They had the altar of incense. Then they had the Ark of the Covenant and the blood-sprinkled mercy seat. Now that belonged to them. And when the Lord Jesus Christ was here on earth, He was not the head of the church, which is His body. He was a Jew. And as a Jew, He observed all the feasts of Israel. And He did not tell them to get rid of their temple or their Old Testament sacrifices, because He was made under the law. And He said, I came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. Now, when you go back to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, remember that the Lord Jesus Christ was in the land of Israel. He was speaking to Jews. Some of them were saved and some of them were unsaved. Before He went before Pilate, there are only three conversations that Jesus Christ ever carried on with Gentiles, according to Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And when He was in the presence of one Gentile, He said in Matthew 15:24, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now the Lord said that, and the Lord meant what He said. And He chose 12 apostles, and He said, go not into the way of the Gentiles. And yet the Gentiles go back and they misappropriate that which God gave to the Jews in the Kingdom of Heaven program, and they bring it over and put it into the gospel of the grace of God, and confuse it with the membership in the body of Christ, and they frustrate the grace of God and pervert the gospel until we have today Babylon in the church. When the Lord said, rightly divide the word of truth so you'll not be a workman who needs to be ashamed, He certainly wanted you to know the difference between the law and grace. He wanted you to know the difference between the Kingdom of Heaven and the body of Christ. He wanted you to know the difference between the number 12 and the number 1. 12 is the number of Israel. 1 is the number of the church. Paul uses the number 1 28 times. And I want to refer to some even before Paul was here in the 11th chapter of John. Notice, this high priest didn't know what he was saying, but he uttered a great truth that it behooves every one of us to accept and understand. Notice, Caiaphas, this is John 11:49, Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, you do not know. You do not consider. It is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. He spake this not of himself, but he said that Jesus would die for Israel, and not for Israel only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. Now, how were the children of God scattered abroad? Last Sunday we had in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians that by man came death, by man came the resurrection of the dead. God looked down from heaven to see if there was a just man on earth who did not sin, and he never found one until the Lord Jesus Christ came down from heaven. There have lived, we're told, 20 billion people since Adam sinned, and every single man, woman, boy or girl, child who's been born into this world was conceived in sin and shapen in iniquity. We were born into this world with a spiritual disease, indwelling sin, conceived in sin and shapen in iniquity. Now God says, by one man, Adam, sin entered the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men because all have sinned. Now as the one man brought sin into the world, Adam was disobedient unto death, Christ was obedient unto death. By Adam came alienation, by Christ came reconciliation. By Adam came sin, by Christ came righteousness. By Adam came death, and it's threefold, spiritual, physical, and eternal. The wages of sin is death, and we've all earned our wages. The free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now one man with one sacrifice was sufficient to take care of all the sins of the children of Adam, as we'll notice in the Bible. So the Bible is the story of two men, the first Adam and the last Adam, the first man and the second man, who is from heaven. Adam brought the curse, Jesus Christ bore the curse. Adam brought the thorns, Jesus Christ wore the thorns. By man came death, by man came the resurrection of the dead. Now right before the Lord went to the cross, he prayed a prayer in the 17th chapter of John. In the 17th chapter of John, notice the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. Neither in the 20th verse, neither pray I for these alone, but that for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. One in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Do you suppose the world will believe that God sent the Lord Jesus Christ when there are 280 divisions and subdivisions? And over 100 of the denominations will not have any fellowship with the rest of them. And every one of them based on tradition. And notice, that they all may be one. Now notice, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved me as thou I love them. Now he was praying here the prayer that they all might be one. Now we're going to ask you to turn to the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. This is the all-inclusive and all-exclusive. You know, if you didn't know any more than this one verse of Scripture, you would be informed concerning the great truth of the one church, which is not primarily a religious organization, but it is a spiritual organism. It is called S-O-M-A, Soma. Soma is just the same as the word B-O-D-Y. This body is made up, it's wonderfully made up, of thousands upon thousands and hundreds of thousands parts in this anatomy. The Greek word for B-O-D-Y is S-O-M-A, Soma. And when we get over to the truth for this age, after God set aside his religious nation and his system of religious doings, then he made known the truth that he had a different church, and that church is called the body or the soma of Christ. In Ephesians 3:6, it is called a joint body. Now, it doesn't make any difference how many of the 280 different organizations you may become identified with. Not one of them will profit you one iota unless you're already a member of the true church, which is an invisible. When you get into it, it's something that nobody can see. It cometh not with ocular demonstration. When you become a member of the church in which there is salvation and eternal life, nobody but Almighty God can see you get in it. 30 people may come forward here and want to be united with this organization. We're very careful. We try to examine them and get their testimony. But only God knows how many of them are members of the body of Christ. And if you're not a member of the body of Christ, there isn't a thing in the Bible telling you that if you join the church or get into some religious organization that you'll be safe or secure. Now notice what he said. You just take this home with you, and if you do not get the rest of it, get this. The 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, the 12th verse. As the body is one. Now your body, you have two eyes, two ears, you have your nose, you have your fingers, you have all the members of your body, all your corpuscles, everything within. But it's all one body. And this he pictures, gives us this as a picture of the church, a body, just like the human anatomy. He says, all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is the Christ. Now he starts over in the third chapter of and first chapter of this epistle, and the third chapter, by asking this question. Is Christ divided? Let's everyone ask that question. Every one of you. Is Christ divided? Is he? In God's sight, he's not. But in the sight of man, he's divided into 280 different sects. Paul says here in the 12th chapter, the 25th verse, notice it, that there should be no schism in the body. We have a book back there entitled Isms and Schisms, showing what 140 different church organizations in this country believe. And there's as much difference between some of them, when you take two and compare, there's as much difference as there is between the midday sun and the midnight darkness. Still they call themselves church. Now let me say right here that the word church in the Bible, nobody knows where we got the word. The King James translators didn't know what word to use. C-H-U-R-C-H has no meaning. But it's used over 100 times in the Bible. It never refers to a building. That is, a building made out of brick or mortar stone. Every time it's used, it refers to a company of saved people. There were unsaved people in the kingdom of heaven. It's like wheat and tares. But there isn't an unsaved person in the church, which is the body of Christ. Because God saves you and puts you in the body the very moment he saves you. And salvation is of the Lord. Now notice what he says here. For by one Spirit were we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles. That's the all-inclusive and all-exclusive story of the church. There's only one church, only one way to get into the church, only one who can put you in that church, and that's Almighty God in heaven. And the way he does that, when the gospel is preached concerning the church of God which he purchased with his own blood, and you come by faith to Calvary and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and God by the Holy Spirit applies his precious blood, and your soul is cleansed from all sin, and that all takes place in less than 5 minutes' time. And when that takes place, the very moment it takes place, God takes you out of Adam, he puts you in Christ, he takes you out of the world, and he puts you in the church, and you become a member of the body of Christ. Nobody can make you a member of the body of Christ but Almighty God. Before you become a member, you're a dead sinner. The very moment you become a member, you're a living saint. And every member of the body is a saint of God. Now that doesn't mean that you're sinless. It means that God has sanctified you. We're chosen unto salvation through sanctification of the Spirit, belief of the truth. Now notice what he says in the 25th verse. That there should be no division in the body. You say it's too late, you can't do anything about it. They tried Walter Meyer, one of the greatest preachers we've had, Lutheran. They tried every trick that they could to get him to come into a union meeting with the Baptists and others to give a message. Well, the Lutherans and the Baptists have no dealings like the Samaritans and the Jews. But they both claim to be the church, but they have no dealings. Or they'll meet out socially, but spiritually they'll not come together in a meeting. And if you take those two, you can't get the Church of Christ in the South to meet with the Presbyterians. They won't have any dealings with them. They both claim to be the church. What's the matter? God says that there be no division. And as long as you belong to some sectarian organization and sponsor that, you stand in the way. Somebody says, you can't do anything about it now. Perhaps you can't. But Paul stood alone for this truth. And he finally said, all men have forsaken me, and I am alone, only Luke is with me. But he left this truth for us. Now let me read to you the great truth in the second chapter of Ephesians. My, what a wonderful message we have here in the second chapter of Ephesians. He tells us in the 14th verse, notice, in the 13th verse, now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. You can't get within 10 billion miles of salvation by struggling with the Sermon on the Mount, by trying to keep the Ten Commandments. If you could some way keep 9 of the Ten Commandments perfectly and keep one of them 75%, just miss 25% on the 10th one, you'd go to hell just the same as if you'd never had. Because if you keep the whole law and offend in one point, you're guilty of all. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. And by the deeds of the law, no flesh shall be justified in God's sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. And what the law could not do because of the weakness of humanity, God sent his son, and he lived 33 and a half years under the law. Sin is a transgression of the law. He never sinned. He never made a mistake. He never had to apologize to man or to confess to God. He was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. He was sinless, but the wages of sin is death, and he died. He had no right to die. He says, they hated me without a cause. Why did he die? He died because of Adam's sin, and he died because of my sin. He died because of your sin. And if you do not come by faith to Calvary and accept the vicarious work of the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be lost for all eternity. If you leave this world in Adam, you'll remain in Adam. And as in Adam, all die. And after death, the judgment. You must pass out of Adam into Christ before you leave this world. And if any man be in Christ, there's a new creation. Now notice what he says here. He says in the 14th verse, for he is our peace who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, for to make in himself of twain one new man. One new man. I said to my friends here speaking, I've been a Christian for more than 50 years. I never heard one man, one preacher preach on the one new man. I haven't heard them all, but I've heard some of the greatest preachers. This is the greatest one single truth with 12th chapter 1 Corinthians. What is God doing? If we want to be laborers together with God, if we want to work intelligently with God, let's find out what God's doing. He's not building the tabernacle of David. He's not bringing in the kingdom. He's not going to establish a millennium. The darkest hours that was ever known on this earth will be known after God gets through with the church. And in the midst of that darkness, the king will come back, and then the millennium will be established. But that isn't what God's doing now. He's making one new man. The old man was Adam and Eve, and God called their name Adam. The new man is the church in Christ, and God called their name the Christ. And the church in Christ will be one flesh, and God is not going to present churches to himself. He's going to present to himself the church, which is his body, as a glorious, holy, blameless church without spot or without blemish. That's what the Lord's going to do. That's what he's doing. He's making a new man. Now, how does he do it? Listen. In the 16th verse, reconciling both the Jew and the Gentile unto God in one body by the cross. That's the most wonderful, that in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, the 13th verse. Listen. Baptized by one Spirit into one body, reconciling believers in one body by the cross. Not by the Sermon on the Mount, not by the Ten Commandments, not by getting religion, not by joining the church of God which he purchased with his own blood, and without the shedding of blood there is no remission. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. And until you come by faith to Calvary and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice what God says. You get this all the way through. In the first epistle to the Timothy. There is one God, there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. And this man, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down at the right hand of God, waiting till all enemies be made his footstool. He entered once into heaven by his blood, one time, having obtained eternal redemption for us. One mediator between God and man. One sacrifice on the cross. My dear friends, I don't care what you learn in religion is. It does seem that a wayfaring man, though a fool, would ought to know. There's only one church, only one way to get into that church. There's only one sacrifice for sin. And you can never be born again of God but one time. If you come and you're really born again by faith in the crucified and resurrected Christ, he gives you eternal life, and God's not an Indian giver. He doesn't take it away from you. And he doesn't give you eternal life on the installment plan. the very moment I came to Christ and received him as my Savior, that moment God saved my soul for time and eternity. He gave me his own righteousness. He gave me the Holy Spirit. He anointed me on the day of redemption. He made me a member of the body of Christ. And I want to say this to you. We're glad to have people to become identified with us here if they love the Lord. Same precious faith. But if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ really and sincerely in your heart, right now, you'll be in heaven forever if you never see inside of a church building or never join any church. You're not saved by joining the church. Of course, if you're saved, you'll want to go with God's people. But you're not saved by going there. You're saved by grace through faith in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.